9 minutes after 11 Central African time. I love that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Nasheed. Allah indeed is my witness. Oh, my beloved, beautiful listeners out there. Hope you're doing awesome. Hope you're well. Yes, it's another beautiful day. Wednesday morning, the bliss of marriage. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. Of course, our engineer this morning is Brother Tabella. Brother Tabella, I want to welcome the listeners of Radio Sirius FM. Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and company. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM. Let's welcome the listeners of the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that is Markaz Sahaba. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim, who's with me this morning. Of course, every Wednesday is between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, the Bliss of Marriage Part 2. I know yesterday when I spoke to my beloved Ustad, he was in Durban. I see this morning when I spoke to him, now he's in Denhauser. I told the listeners, Maulana Salim Karim, you know, he's firing from all cylinders. He's a traveler. He's like Burak, you know, like Burak. Anyway, let's go to my beloved Ustad on this beautiful Wednesday morning, which is, of course, the 14th of Dhul Qa'dah. 14, 40. Ustad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Ustad, how are you, Ustad? Where are you at the moment, Ustad?
I mean, then I was there at the moment. I'm on my way to Newcastle.
Subhanallah. Why don't you just make a turn? Just say, Mulana, from Newcastle, on my way to Johannesburg. Come and visit us.
No problem, inshallah. I think, Mulana, you and I need to invest in a helicopter, I think. Maybe we need to fly.
That's a good one, Ustad. That's a very good.
Maybe
one.
Maybe our listeners can help us, Mala. Maybe, inshallah. We need to get, inshallah, a helicopter, I think. Yeah.
I mean,
anyway, Allah Ta'ala grant all of us happiness, inshallah. We wake up with a bright bright morning, thanking Allah Ta'ala for all the gifts. Alhamdulillah, alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu salihat. And I think the beautiful ayat for today is la'in shakartum. The more we are grateful to Allah, the more Allah will increase His bounties upon us. So the greatest gift that Allah can give to you after Iman is a pious wife.
Indeed.
And our dua to Allah Ta'ala, Ki Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yun. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. That's the dua that we start our program this morning with. Because we're talking about relationships, we're talking about marriages, we're talking about love, we're talking about respect, we're talking about khidmat, and how we as the Muslim Ummah should be a role model in every aspect of our life. So inshallah, al-Aziz, I start with this beautiful quote. Love is sweet when it's new. And even sweeter when it's true. That's what we want Allah Ta'ala to give us, true love. That when we make nikah for the pleasure of Allah and our intentions are sincere. So love is sweet when it's new. Yes, you can see the bridal couple, mashallah, Marana, very happy, enjoying themselves, and mashallah, you find them on the windscreen or the back window, just married. See? So love is sweet when it's new, even sweeter when you are true.
Subhanallah.
And what do you need, Mulana? As somebody said it so nicely, that after nikah, what does nikah mean? Nikah generates love and muhabbat. See? And Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, to the beautiful institution, nikah. Allah wants love and muhabbat. And love means obedience to Allah. If only the couple can respect each other for the pleasure of Allah and be obedient to Allah, be obedient to each other, Allah Ta'ala will generate love. Allah will bless the couple with love. And there's another saying here that, well said, Mana. A couple that plays together stays together. The famous one you heard is a couple who prays together stays together. But a couple that plays together. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so joyous, he was such a loving husband. Rasulullah would play with the Azwaji Mutahharat. Rasulullah would be humorous with them. Rasulullah would joke with them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say something that would bring a smile. Subhanallah, yes, when Azan was given, the whole atmosphere would change. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would now focus on Allah Rabbul Alameen. But it shows you that this is insaniyat. This is what character is about. This is what humanity is about. That you must be able to understand your partner. Well, Manana, everybody is taking boosters, Manana, for cold and for flu. I don't know what tablets you're taking, Manana. So somebody said it, for a marriage, yeah, you can give me an answer just now, Manana. The best tablet to take is, I need vitamin U.
Sure.
You get vitamin A, vitamin B. But if you want a good marriage, I need vitamin U. In other words, I need commitment from you as my wife, as a husband. I need commitment. See? So for my if you want Allah Ta'ala to increase muhabbat, so adore your wife for who she is. Appreciate her for who she is. As, again, somebody said it very nicely. That love you, only you. Very, very much. Every day, more and more. And that's what Allah Pak said, that nikah will generate love and muhabbat in the couple. So that being the introduction, Marana, inshallah, we had lots of questions yesterday. And it was a heated debate.
Definitely, Ustad.
And mashallah, and the sisters ready. Mashallah, they were brave enough to come forth and admit the difficulties they are facing. So inshallah, let's open the lines to our sisters, inshallah, and I'm sure you've got some questions on your screen.
Indeed, Ustad. Ustad, just before we go to the question, I don't know, are you on loudspeaker, Ustad, because I can hear you echoing, or are you it sounds like you're in an empty room, Ustad. Are you on loudspeaker?
Okay, let me bring this off speaker, inshallah, maybe we'll be... Okay, now can you hear me better?
Yeah, that's much better, Ustad. Yeah,
okay.
that's
for that one, huh?
No, Ustad. Okay, listeners, 16 after 11, 0847863132. I know many listeners yesterday, as Ustad said earlier on, they were on. It was a heated program yesterday, and of course the podcast went out. If anybody wants that podcast, you can inshallah send me a message. Somebody sent me a very nice question here, Ustad. That tell Maulana Salim Karim that why do couples fight? Why they do argue? Why they lose their temper and they squeal with each other, and sometimes they go to the extent, Ustad, where they swear at each other with vulgar, especially when they go for Hajj. Ustad, I don't know if Ustad could explain this. This is a daddy. Daddy is asking this question. She says, tell Maulana Salim Karim, why do couples fight, argue, or swear at each other, or lose their temper, especially when they go for Hajj? I mean, Hajj is the holy lands of Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara. Ustad.
No, this is a very interesting question. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam said, a person came to Ghaliban Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and asked and said to him that I love this brother. I love him for the pleasure of Allah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked him, did you travel with this individual before? And he says, no, I didn't travel with him. Did you do business with him anytime? He says, no, I didn't. Father Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, if you didn't travel with the person and you didn't do business with this person, and in times of need, did this person come to your rescue? He says, no. Father Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, then you don't know this individual. The true color and character and behavior of an individual comes and reflects, Mulana, when you travel with somebody. And 9 out of 10, you find that when couples go out on holidays, wherever they go, Malana, there's always arguments and fights. So it's only when you travel with your wife, you come to know your husband's true colors, you know your wife's true colors. Has she got sabr? Has she got tolerance? And the mistake we make, Malana, is that when we make safar, whether it's husband and wife or our children, we must appoint somebody as the amir. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when two people are on journey, one person should be the amir. If there are three and more people, one person should be the amir, for the simple reason that if everybody is going to comment and everybody is going to be trying to be in charge, Morana, there will be chaos. That's why Shariat has disciplined us that when you make safar, she, alhamdulillah, appoint an amir. So if the husband or the father says, we are doing X, all of us have to fall in line and accept it. So coming back to your point that why do husbands and wives fight, especially when they travel together, when they are in the front of the Kaaba. I know of a couple who were cursing each other in front of the Kaaba. So shaitan wants to destroy a marriage. Shaitan wants to deprive you of ajr and sawab. But coming back, when you go on journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-safru, that journey, qit'atun minan nar, it's a piece of fire. You can have the best car, you can drive, you can sit in business class, exclusive class, whatever it is, but still there is parishani. There is still some inconvenience. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's directive to us is that when you finish your business and your safar, return home immediately to your wife. Return immediately to your family. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, so coming back to the question you asked, why do couples fight? Especially when they go for Hajj or on their own journey. They are used to a family environment. And normally the wife, mashallah, is in control at home. But on safar, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a woman should not travel without a mahram. Because lots of things can happen. Somebody needs to carry your bag. Sometimes you need to use the toilet. Who's going to look after your amanah? Sometimes you are sick. You need to rest. You need a doctor. You need assistance. That is why Sharia said, always travel with a mahram. Don't travel without a mahram. So coming back to your point, Maulana, is that because the environment changes and the circumstances changes, there is no sabr, there is no tolerance, there is no give and take between the couple. And this is why they fight. So it's the only time you can know the true personality of a person, if you travel with that person or you'd have a business deal, then only you will come to know the true colors of that individual.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. 21 minutes after 11, you are tuning and listening to The Bliss of a Marriage. Somebody says here, Maulana Salim, many a times we hurt our spouses, Maulana Salim Karim, or they hurt us. And the hardest part is letting go of the pain that they caused you. Like, how could they have the audacity to do that? That hurt becomes anger. Anger turns in resentment and coldness. Then you lose feelings and respect. Ustad.
Mulana, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful hadith that Allah Pak is going to send the Anbiya, Shuhada, Sadiqeen, Siddiqeen into Jannat. Likewise, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question, do you know which woman is going to go to Jannat? Sahaba-i-Kiram said, Ya Rasulullah, you know best. To which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will grant that wife or that woman Jannat with whom the husband is upset and naraz and angry, or vice versa. But the wife and the woman at night takes the initiative to go up to her husband and hold his hand and say to him, for the pleasure of Allah, I seek forgiveness for whatever mistakes I have made. And until you don't make me maaf, I'm not going to sleep. Mm. It's such a beautiful hadith. Generally, men don't like to apologize.
Why?
They got ego, Maulana. They got anger. They got pride. They got arrogance in them, generally. Allah Pak has made women soft by tabiat, mashallah, Maulana. They will cry. They will scream a bit. But eventually, they will come and ask for maaf. So I always say the two key words in marriage, Maulana, is when you have arguments with your husband or vice versa. There's two key words that will help the relationship. One is that you're arguing, say, jiha. Yes, whatever you're saying is correct for that moment, because you want to avoid a confrontation. You want to avoid curses and swearing to each other. Just for that moment, agree, jiha, what you're saying is right. He's saying it is black and you know it's white, you say jiha, fine. Number two, the key word is maaf ki jiha, forgive me, I'm sorry. You don't know the power of the word maaf kiji. You know, and this is the word that should be on the tip of our tongue. That for the pleasure of Allah, I forgive you. Look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Pak has given Rasulullah the beautiful title of Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, Ya Rasulullah. You have the highest degree of character. And what was the character of Rasulullah? Sil man qata'ak. You mend ties with those who break ties. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is akhlaqi hasana, akhlaqi kareema. Directive from Rasulullah. Sil man qata'ak. You mend ties with those who break ties with you. Wa'fu amman zalamak. Forgive those who oppress you. Allahu Akbar. What didn't Rasulullah do for the Quraysh? What didn't they punish Rasulullah in that Wadi Abu Talib? 3 years they boycotted Rasulullah. There was no food to eat. Sahaba Ikram were living on berries. They were living on leaves. No social matters at all to deal with the Muslims. For 3 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered. Hadrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reading Salah in the Mataf. One of the Quraysh slaughtered a camel. They brought the entire intestine and they dumped it on Rasulullah's head. Hadrat Aisha, Hadrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala sees this done to her father. She rushes there and tells them a mouthful. How dare you do this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the atrocities, look at the zulm that they made on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That finally Rasulullah had to make hijrat and leave Makkatul Mukarramah and go to Madinatul Munawwarah. And when Allah gave victory to the Muslims once again, and Rasulullah is now coming in as a victor, as the Amirul Mu'mineen of the entire city of Makkatul Mukarramah, the Quraysh leaders are sitting and shivering. That today we don't know. We ill-treated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were rude to him. We hurt him. We did the worst things to him. I don't know what he's going to do to us today. Today he is in control and he is in power. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and says to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, stand on top of the Kaaba and give azan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this beautiful announcement. La tasriba alaykumul yawm.
Subhanallah.
يغفر الله لكم لا تسريب عليكم اليوم. Today I have no grouse against you. I have no complaint against you. I have no grudges against you. يغفر الله لكم. May Allah forgive all of you. This is akhlaqi kareema. See? So learn to forgive. See, this is the question that you are asking. So when I remember, in marriage there is no loser. Both are winners. Just remember this. In marriage, when you have an argument, it's not that I'm going to outclass you because maybe I'm a better speaker and I can present myself better than my husband. In marriage, there is no loser. Both of you are winners, provided you stick to Sharia. Number three, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give to those who deprive you. Now you're angry with your wife, you're holding back her monthly expense. You know, you don't want to feed her, you don't want to buy her a gift, you don't want to give her a monthly allowance, you're trying to punish her. No, look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful ta'aleem. Give to those who withhold against you. Allahu Akbar. Khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahlihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best amongst you is he who is good to his family. Wa ana khiyarukum li ahli. And I'm good to my family. So, Mawlana, let us emulate, let us, our sisters and mothers, emulate the daughters of Rasulullah, the wives of Rasulullah, the Sahabiyat, and we as menfolk, let's emulate the Sahaba al-Kiram. How generous, how loving and caring they were towards their wives. So, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.
28 minutes after 11, I see Hazrat Mawlana Salim Karim, mashallah, he is firing from all cylinders. I think Ustad sounds like he's in a hall, you know, in a hall. So, mashallah, we still can hear him loud and clear. Of course, only that that echoing is still there, but it's fine, inshallah, Ustad. We still can continue with the program. And Mawlana Salim Karim is in Den Hauser. If anybody would love to meet Mawlana Salim Karim, please you can go and meet him, inshallah. If anyone has any questions as well in Den Hauser, please do feel free. There's a very, very nice question here, Ustad, as we are going along with the program. I'm married for 21 years, Ustad. And I'm from Mondio. This is in Johannesburg. My husband's feelings has gone cold. It's dying off. Our spark is gone. It's not the same anymore, Mawlana Salim. I need your help, Mawlana Arafat and Mawlana Salim. My husband is gone to work right now. Please, Mawlana Salim, could you give me a remedy? Someone told me to go to a sheikh or to a sangoma, and they will give me something for him to eat for the spark to come back. Should I do that? I so much want to do that. What do I do? I'm on a catch 24. Ustad.
First and foremost, Mawlana, may Allah Ta'ala reward the sister for that question. Respected sister, never, ever in your life compromise your iman.
Allahu Akbar.
If you go to a witch doctor, a sangoma, or you go to some of these fake amils, not only you're going to destroy your iman, you're going to destroy your sharam and haya and your modesty. If you want to reignite your relationship with your husband, sit him down. Ask him, can we just spend one weekend alone? I want to speak my heart out to you. I want to pour my heart out to you as how I feel. And I want you to tell me, is there something wrong that I'm doing? Am I not meeting up to your expectations? Mawlana, I mean, my car is not performing well. I go to the mechanic, am I right?
Mawlana? Indeed, indeed, Ustad.
And there's, mashallah, lots of different types of boosters we put into the engine. And mashallah, the engine is sparked up, more power. So likewise, Mawlana, you need to be practical. Take one weekend off, just you and the husband, inshallah, and have a heart-to-heart talk. One. Mawlana, sometimes the sisters, I'm not saying all, they are absolutely orthodox. You know, 40, 50 years ago, there was so much of, mashallah, parda in the sense of modesty, sharam and haya and habits. And we come from that background. So obviously now, there are so many things that is jayiz in Sharia, but because we come from the old school of thought, we are shy. You know, to hold my husband's hand, or to hug him, or to kiss him, or to say good words to him. Because in the older days, we never did this in front of our parents.
Of course.
It was taboo. And I'm coming from that background. And here is my husband. Maybe his family is very loving, very, mashallah, jovial, whatever it is. So we need to try and meet each other somewhere and find out what is the problem. But going to amils who are fake, I'm not saying there are some genuine amils, mashallah, they are making lots of elaj of people and people are being helped. They only use Allah's kalam and nothing else. But my only nasihat is that whenever you go to an amil, please take your mahram with. Do not ever go and see an amil alone, irrespective of who the person is. Take your father, take your son, take your brother, take your nephew, take a mahram with you, so that inshallah al-aziz, your iman is protected and so is the amil's iman protected. So for the sister, alhamdulillah, how to spark up this thing? So first and foremost, communicate with each other. Then I need to improve in my dressing, in my beauty, and in my style. Or maybe I'm not dressing up to the expectation of my husband. Rana, in the four corners of your house, alhamdulillah, you can dress up in whichever way that inshallah will entice your husband. He will appreciate your beauty. He will say kind words to you. He will just not get his eyes off your beauty and your style. So try to do things, mashallah, that will bring insan, you know, kullu jadidin lazizun, you know, everything that is new is tasty. So let's try something new. So that, alhamdulillah, the husband can, inshallah, take a better liking to his wife. Number three, Mawlana, as I said to you, with your cooking, with your presentation, alhamdulillah, try and improve. Ask your husband. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hadar Aisha described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the akhlaq? How did Rasulullah behave with you all? The words of Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Kana kariman. Rasulullah was absolutely kind, absolutely loving, absolutely caring. Kariman. And the second word is the most beautiful word, Mawlana. Maghluban. Sometime Rasulullah would allow us to subdue him. Where, alhamdulillah, the wife is now in control, Mawlana. They say, Darbul Habibi. Zabibun. Mawlana, if I have to give you a clout now, you'll feel the pain because we are, it's a normal situation. But if I'm joking and playing with you, Mawlana, we're in the jovial mood, And if I have to pinch you, I'm just giving an example, or if I have to give you a tight slap, that pain will not be the same pain in normal circumstances. So the, in Arabic, you say, Darbul Habibi, the hitting of the beloved is sweet like raisins. See? So what I'm saying, this was the akhlaq of Rasulullah. Kana kariman maghluban. Rasulullah was generous, kind, accommodating. You can use all the most beautiful adjectives.
Mm.
And the second one is maghluban. That sometimes we used to overpower Rasulullah. In a joking way, in a jovial mood, alhamdulillah, we should have the better of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where is that akhlaq in us? Where is that tolerance in us, Mulana? Is it just about food? Is it just about sexual relationship? Is it just about holidays? No. If you want to be, see, apne aadat ko ibadat bana do, whatever you do routinely sometime, just turn it into the niyat of sawab. Allah will reward you for it. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you asked me a good question, Mona. I've seen something here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a good apology. Sometimes we need to apologize to each other. Every day you should, inshallah, say to your husband at the end of business, before you go to bed, greet each other, hug each other, and say and ask for maaf. If in today's deliberations from the morning till the evening, I've hurt your feelings or I did not fulfill some of my rights towards you, please, for the pleasure of Allah, forgive me. And so should the wife also say the same thing. That as my beloved husband, I did not do everything that you asked me to do. Please forgive me. I could not fulfill all my rights, for the pleasure of Allah, forgive me. Rana, can you imagine if either one of them have to pass away tomorrow? In the morning, the husband doesn't wake up. But at least my wife asked me for forgiveness. It's no use sitting in front of the janazah and crying there, Mulana, after the janazah is brought into the house and you are crying there and howling. Okay, please forgive me. It's too late. When the person was alive, you didn't do it. So a good apology, Mulana, what does a good apology entail? A good apology has three parts. Number one, I am sorry. It's just like tawbah, that you must have remorse. If you committed the guna, you must have remorse. See? One. Number two, you must acknowledge it's my fault. You must be brave enough to say it's my fault. And the third thing, what can I do to make it right? What can I do to make it right? Rana, this is three important points here. If you want to sincerely apologize to your spouse, three things. I am sorry, one. Two, it's my fault. Three, what can I do to make it right? The third one, what can I do to make it right? Most people forget the third one. I hurt my wife. She's crying, she's in tears. How do I rectify? What can I do to make it right? So make dua ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.
Ustaz,
understand this one or not.
Ustaz, just going back to your point, you mentioned something about regarding that question that sister mentioned about her spark. After 21 years, there's no spark in the marriage. And you mentioned something about dressing. I don't know, Ustaz, maybe could you please explain to me, you know, in detail about dressing. If our wives dress up, I mean, how can that, can dressing put that spark up again? I mean, I'm not seeing anything. If she maybe wears a smart cloak at home, or maybe she wears a smart shorts, I don't know, Ustad. Can actually dressing, because you mentioned earlier on that dressing can maybe bring that spark up again, Ustad?
Mulana, let's not mince our words. Simple, Mulana. She can dress up in the most sexiest outfit for her husband. It's only for his eyes. That's why Sharia says, whatever happens in the four walls of the bedroom will die with you and go to your qabr. You're not even allowed to discuss the intimacy matters or whatever that entails with anybody. It's confidential between husband and wife. Now, Mulana, you can let your imagination run as to what Sharia has allowed you.
Allah,
the word in Sharia is mula'abat. There must be foreplay from both sides. not a one-sided thing, Mulana. The wife is has to do everything, or the husband is only. It comes from the word mula'abat in Arabic means from both sides. There should be, alhamdulillah, interaction. So the question you are asking me, as far as blessing is concerned, Mulana, whatever happens in that bedroom, however the wife feels to dress up, alhamdulillah, it's up to her. If that really excites the husband, it really turns him on, alhamdulillah. It is his right and it is his haq, and she wants to do the best for her husband. He doesn't expect the husband to wear a grease over all day and she's, mashallah, very beautifully dressed. It can work both ways also. He's two hands to clap.
So
my one friend said to me, Mulana, you keep talking about women must dress very smart and they must be looking dolled up. Why are you not telling the men folk, Mulana, that they also need to be looking very smart and handsome, and they must be smelling of perfume, they must be looking smart, they must be a chemistry. I said, okay, you got a point, we're going to do this. So I'm doing that now, Mulana.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So one person said, let me go and buy sand shoes and come, Mulana. I'm going to wear sand shoes tonight.
Ustaz, you have to listen to this brother. This brother says, Mulana Salim and Mulana Arafat, I love you guys' show. I love you guys, the bliss of marriage. The brother says that my wife, when I come from work, when she's in the kitchen, you know, she actually dresses up while she's cooking. You know, she's got maybe her lingerie, whatever. But the brother says, Mulana Salim, that when my wife cooks, she actually dresses up for me. She wants me to look at her and she wants me to come to her, Ustaz.
As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith again, if the husband calls his wife to bed, even if she's cooking or she's riding a horse, just an example, the wife should, inshallah, leave whatever she is doing and fulfill the conjugal rights of her husband. See how Shariat is looking at this thing. Now you may think that, you know what, this is ridiculous. Now I'm in the kitchen here, I'm cooking, and now I must leave all that.
Allah,
it's your husband that is calling you. You want to save his thoughts from zina.
Of course.
You want to save his eyes from zina. Because if you're going to refuse, Mulana, no use giving me biryani when I'm full. I always say this, at the appropriate moment, if your husband calls for you, don't say, you know what, not now, I'll see. There's no children at home, Mulana. There's no interference. There isn't anybody. It's you and your husband, mashallah. Go ahead, do whatever you have to do, because it's your haq. But when you deprive your husband, or vice versa, the husband deprives the wife. Likewise, it's her right. We said yesterday, Mulana, it's the husband's wife also. It works both ways. So Rabbi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith is very clear, that if your husband called you for intimacy, you may be busy in some important work. For the moment, drop that, inshallah, and fulfill his haq. So that his nafs and shaitan is got out of the situation, inshallah. This purity of the mind, purity of the heart, and purity of the private heart. Great wisdom behind it.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, there's a question that came to my mind right now, but before I go to that question, Ustad, inshallah, a sister says, yeah, tell Mulana Salim, I love my husband's biryani, especially mutton biryani. We married for 11 years. Wow. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. That's why I compliment your wife. See, as I gave, I think the famous Mufti Sahib also spoke about this, that we as husbands sometimes we are ungrateful. Our wives prepare such beautiful meals for us, Mulana. Some of us are so lucky that they even bring the tray to the bed breakfast.
But Ustaz, you and I, we can't cook biryani. I mean, the sister says, I love my husband's biryani. Maybe the husband cooks for her. I mean, you and I only can do 2-minute noodles. I'm being honest to you.
No problem. No, we can quietly even buy it from Manjra's, inshallah. Or we keep it and then, inshallah, one day warm it up and present it. No problem. There is ways to, inshallah, achieve that. Okay, fine, alhamdulillah. Some of us are good cooks, Mulana. Mashallah, you go to India and Pakistan, you find mostly the cooks are men. And there's nothing wrong, inshallah, Rasulullah would do household chores also. Hudus used to milk the goat. Hudus used to go to the bazaar and buy the vegetables, not only for his family, but for the neighbors. Allahu Akbar, the akhlaq of Rasulullah. Hudus would do so many things at home. So what's wrong if the husband knows how to cook? It's a great reward. One day you say to the wife, alhamdulillah, let me do my duty. I love you so much. You rest, let me cook. instead of putting garam masala, he's putting pepper, their mouth is burning. So one of the tough luck, Mulana.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ustad,
it's so simple, Mulana. It's just a matter of changing things about. See? And Allah Ta'ala can make that home such a beautiful home. The relationship so understandable. It's just that we must give in to each other. That's it. That's the secret. Give in to each other.
Ustad, I don't know if I should read this question to you, you know.
No, read it, Mulana.
Allahu Akbar.
No,
there's a sister says that, Mulana Salim, my husband is a lazy dog. He doesn't do anything for the house, Mulana Salim Karim. He only loves being intimacy and he only loves sex. I mean, Mulana Salim, is marriage only about sex? Now, Ustad, does this happen, Ustad, in couples, Ustad? Where, I don't know, Ustad, maybe you can guide me and guide the listeners, Ustad.
Allahu Akbar. First, I think the word that she used, my husband is a dog, I think she should retract that word. It's not the right word to say. Allah Ta'ala made insan ashraful makhluk, and those words, I know she's angry and that's what she's saying, but I think the right thing to do is we should change that word around, inshallah, that my husband is absolutely lazy or whatever it is. Yes, they are, unfortunately, as I explained to you 2 minutes ago, Mulana, let's emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much of chores Rasulullah did for his wives, even for Hadrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, his daughter. So what difference would it make? Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked the question, Ya Rasulullah, if I get married, what is my responsibility? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you eat, feed your wife. One. However you clothe yourself, make sure you clothe your wife. Number three, never hit your wife on her face. Number four, do not taunt your wife if she made a mistake and you have forgiven her. Don't reignite that fault and then throw it back on her face. Subhanallah, what beautiful akhlaq. So the sister is angry, I can understand that the husband, all he thinks, nikah is just not about sex, Mulana.
Of course, Ustad.
Control your nafs. And remember, Mulana, over in the Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said something very nice, that if a person overindulges in sexual relationship, it weakens the brain.
Ya Allah.
One. Number two, the cream of your body, Mulana, when a person ejaculates, the cream of his body is being removed. And I still remember one of the Hakims had said, you know, it takes 40 bottles of food to make one drop of blood, talking about the male, and 40 drops of blood to make one drop of semen. Now, can you imagine? And it takes 72 hours for the body to replace that one tablespoon of semen that is excreted. So if you are going to overindulge, Mulana, you're going to drain your system and eventually you will end up with a stroke. Hakims have said that. So never overindulge. When it's a necessity, alhamdulillah. And no use, like, you know, any small thought comes, you're rushing for intimacy, Mulana. When you are absolutely hungry, then you eat food. Many times we are hungry, but we say, okay, fine, we can tolerate it, inshallah. We'll have the meal in the evening. Because I want to be very hungry when I eat my food so I can enjoy it. So likewise, Allah has created this body. Yes? So if a person, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said this beautiful word, that whoever overindulges sexual relationship, it weakens the brain. And as I gave you a little breakdown, see what happens to the body. So the person is going to have intimacy 3 times a day, 4 times a day, 10 times in a week. What is eating, Murana? Eventually, he will end up with major brain problem and he's going to end up with a stroke. You can ask the Hakim and he'll tell you that. Khairul umuri awsatuha, Mulana. Everything that you do with moderation.
You
other question.
12 minutes to 12 o'clock. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, there's a very important question I want to ask you, Ustad. And this is regarding zina, regarding committing zina. Now, the question is, Ustad, who do you blame committing zina? Do you blame the woman folk or do you blame the man? Who gives in quick first? You know, do you blame the man or do you blame the woman? The listener says here, Molana Salim, my husband committed zina with my neighbor. I'm blaming my neighbor, Molana Salim, because how can she do that? But she says, blame your husband. He knows he's a married man. So why he came to me? But I'm blaming her, Molana Salim, because she knows he's a married man. Who do you blame in this, Molana Salim? My marriage is on the rocks. My husband arrogantly says that woman are quick to open. Well, yadubillah, to open there is it. It's not we men, Ustad.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wa la taqrabu zina innahu kana fahisha. Very clear. Do not even go near zina. Allah Pak didn't say, wala taf'alu zina. Don't do zina. Allah Pak said, wala taqrabu zina. And the Mufassirin have explained, anything that leads you to zina, seeing a woman, staring at a woman, talking to a woman, chatting to a woman, passing remarks to a woman, working close in vicinity of a woman, the third party that's going to be there is shaitan. You can be the wali of time. But shaitan will try somewhat to play havoc and get the couple, get the male and female to commit zina. So for the sister, who you blame here, we have to blame ourselves. First of all, I don't respect Sharia. The husband should blame himself.
Yes,
he does not respect Sharia, one. For cheating on his wife, another big guna. For showing disrespect to her, it's another guna on his head. Hurting her feelings, this is another big guna on her, on his head. That's it. As far as the wife is concerned, maybe she needs to look at, am I fulfilling the conjugal rights of my husband? Is there anything short in me that my husband is looking for fun elsewhere? And I think it comes in, I know in the Bible it's written, the worst crime to do is to commit zina with your neighbor's wife. Your neighbor is supposed to be your protector, or you're supposed to be their protectors. See? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Pak revealed so many rights about neighbors that I was afraid that most probably Allah will make the neighbor also inherit from us. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of the greatest sunnahs is to take care of your neighbor, Muslim or non-Muslim. Because they are the first point of help. Anything happens at your home, the help that you're going to do is going to get from your neighbor. So, as it said in the Bible, I think, and Allah Pak has made it very clear in the Quran that the worst crime you can do is to commit zina with the neighbor. With the neighbor's wife or neighbor's daughter or anybody for that matter. This is un-Islamic, it's haram. So maybe the sister needs to call her husband in and sit him down. Maybe he needs to go for counseling. Maybe they are lacking intimacy and they are lacking some chemistry. Allah knows best. So maybe we should get them both together, get them to a doctor or get them to a counselor or an alim or anybody, inshallah, to counsel them. That's the only way forward. And likewise, the sister who took part in this whole affair, she also seems to be shameless. Both of them are shameless in terms of Sharia. They've broken the rules of Sharia. And do you know the curse of zina, Maulana? You know what's the curse of zina? That when a person is committing zina, your iman becomes restless. Those are the words in the hadith of Rasulullah. That it comes out from its place, original place. The iman comes out. And who was on top of your head? And if you die at that moment, Maulana, where's your iman? Your iman is out of you. That's one of the biggest challenges, that when a person commits zina, that his iman comes out of his body. One. Number two, the biggest curse of zina is Allah will take away the barakat of rozi. In the home where zina takes place frequently, whether deliberately, knowingly, or not, or unknowingly, zina is taking place. You will always find there's poverty, there's destruction, there's disaster in that home. Number two. Number three, you'll find the curse of zina, unnatural death. Today, the type of deaths that are taking place, you cannot believe that in today's modern time, people can commit such gruesome types of murder that you cannot believe. Malana. Abi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's warning. Number four, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will send drought. And you can see in this country the drought, or anywhere where the zina has the order of the day. There'll be absolutely drought, Malana. And number five, Allah Pak will bring upon the worst sicknesses. The sicknesses that you cannot believe, Mulana. In the older days, we didn't have AIDS. We didn't have all this HIV. We didn't have all the sexual diseases. There was so much of respect. But today, see the outcome of zina. See how many percent of people in this country are infected with HIV and AIDS. Not only the non-Muslim, Mulana, even Muslims. It's just that it is hidden.
Indeed, Ustad.
So the good question comes, Mulana. Have I right? A woman, can she ask, say, I'm marrying you, but I want you to go and do an HIV test. Can she ask for it? Yes, she has all the rights. And likewise, the husband can ask the wife also, inshallah, I'd like you to have an HIV test. So if I got nothing wrong doing Mulana, I will say yes. I got no problem. Why destroy somebody's life? And the last one, which is Mulana, very shocking. I think it's a hadith of Rasulullah, it stands for correction. That if you commit zina and you make it a habit in your family, that zina will continue for 7 generations in your family. Sometimes it shocks you that the whole house are namazis, parizgar, hajis, Quran is being read, everything is read, but there's somebody making zina there.
Ya Allah, Akbar.
So people don't have, you know, little khawfi ilahi in their Morana. What am I doing? For that 5 minutes pleasure, not even 5 minutes, Morana, 2 minutes pleasure, you destroy your whole life. And you can see the nuhusat. Nuhusat in Urdu means you can see that person's face is black. The person who commits zina, Morana, you can see, or the woman that commits zina, she can brush her face with the most beautiful makeup. Still, the nuhusat and curse of zina will be apparent on her face. The man who commits zina and the woman that commits zina. The noor is taken away. You can see how ugly and horrible we look. This is the curse of zina. So may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the sister who raised the question that my husband had an affair with the neighbor, and the neighbor is saying, no, he came to me. It's not about he or she came to me, Mana. Both of them are shameless.
Yes.
They must make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this husband should try to make up his marriage with his wife and rectify the situation.
Allahu Akbar. 3 minutes to 12 o'clock. It's scary. It's very, very scary, Ustad. Ustad, I'm sitting here with lots of young girls, white and Indian girls, where this Pakistani man bluffing them, making nikah, leaving them, going to marry in their place. So many women are complaining, Maulana Salim. This kind of Maulana should not perform any of this type of nikah. Ustad, your input on this, Ustad.
Maulana, this is the curse of society in South Africa at the current time. We can't brush everybody to be bad and evil. Some of the brothers from Pakistan or from India or Bangladesh or any foreign country, Maulana. Our girls and our mothers or sisters and daughters are so vulnerable, Maulana. They fall for this handsomeness and stylish, mashallah, they've got a smart style of combing their hair.
Yes,
Mulana, they look very handsome. They are like Pathan. They are like fair complexion, because everything is about complexion here, Mulana. It's about style. Not realizing that who will come here and get married, Mulana. So many times we find out that this man is married in his home country. He's got wives there. He's got children there. He's got family there. He comes here and he acts like a parishta, that I'm innocent, I'm a virgin, I haven't been married. Such a lie. And our sisters become vulnerable to this. I am dealing with cases at the moment, right now. I'm dealing with cases right now, at the moment. A person is from Pakistan or from India, married to a South African girl. It's for papers, for documents. Mulana, use South Africa as a springboard, because they want to go to Canada, or they want to go to the UK, or they want to go to America for the green card. As long as they get their passport or they get some citizenship from South Africa, they use this as a springboard to go overseas. And they dump our sisters with children, without food, without a home. That woman is now vulnerable. she's selling her body to look after her children.
Ustad, I have to stop you there. Time is up. We've got exactly about 30 seconds. Time is up. But Ustad, before you leave me quickly, I know you are Indian Hauser. Quickly, just for the sister here. Quickly, Ustad, a quick one. I'm going to give you a minute, inshallah. I see Brother Alphas and Kossi is here for the 12 o'clock news. The sister says she's 22 years old. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given her beauty. She's pretty. She's young. She says, please, I need advice, Maulana Salim, urgently. I'm getting proposals where men are coming to my parents, to my home, and they are proposing to me. But to be a second wife, I'm getting men out there who are married, of course, but they're being genuine. They're coming to my daddy and mommy, and they are proposing to me. I'm 22 years old. They want me to be the second wife. What's your advice on this, Ustad? Quickly, for the young
sister. Please, don't be a second wife. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a sahabi who came, I think it was Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala.
Ji.
And Rasulullah asked him, did you get married?
Uh-huh.
He was married previously. He said, Ji, ya Rasulullah. I got married. So Rasulullah asked him, do you get married to a female that is a widow or a virgin? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I got married to somebody who is a widow because I've got children and I expect her to look after my children. So Rasulullah said to him, why didn't you marry a virgin girl? You would have enjoyed her and she would have enjoyed you. The point here, Maulana, is that Allah Ta'ala has given you and me the right to make nikah. We must choose the best for our children. And second wives, Maulana, I think in this zamana, in this country, is absolutely... disaster. I still have to see two wives getting married, alhamdulillah, to one husband, and there's love, muhabbat, respect, and tolerance. Illa mashallah, from a million, or I won't say a million, from 10,000, if you think there are 100 that you are lucky like this, Maulana, alhamdulillah. 99.9 is an absolutely disaster. So that sister who's asked that question, please, sister, Allah has given you beauty and has given you akal, marry somebody, inshallah, for the first time. Don't be a second wife.
Ustad, we're going to love you and leave you. Jazakumullah khairan. I was going to give one from Australia, but nevertheless, we're going to leave that some other time, Ustad. I see Brother Alphas and Kossi and Brother Tobela saying it's time up. So make dua, inshallah. We will see you tomorrow evening, inshallah, on our program, The Discussion.
Simulana, we'll take the question tomorrow night. No problem.
Inshallah.
Okay, barakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ustad, Brother Alphas and Kossi is asking you a question.
Gee, let him go for it.
Moles, I'm saying, is there perhaps a prescription for a virgin to be married?
A prescription for a virgin to get married?
Yeah.
Yes, mashallah. The greatest prescription is that Allah will generate, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing better than marriage that can unite two lovers. So alhamdulillah, the person that you're getting married is compatible age-wise, profession-wise, manners-wise, akhlaq-wise, young at heart, there's energy, there's chemistry, subhanallah. Look for that so that you enjoy the best of marriage.
Ustad,
when you get married to a virgin, inshallah, Allah will grant you pious children.
Ustad, the sisters in Australia are asking me to say this. She says that quickly. She says some humor from Maulana Salim Karim. He says here that this man was on his deathbed. As he was laying on his deathbed, the man confided to his wife, I cannot die without telling you the truth, my wife. I cheated on you throughout our whole marriage. All those nights when I told you I was working late, I was with other women. And not just one woman either, but I've slept with dozens of them. So his wife looked at him calmly and said, oh, my baby, why do you think I gave you the poison?
Subhanallah. Jazakallah to those.
I mean, Ustaz.
Very humorous. Well said. Jazakallah, Maulana. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next is the 12 o'clock news. What? Handsome Alphas and Kossi.